Welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This is, of course, the Loose Ballers edition with myself, Xavier Ellis, and Dill Buckley. And we're here, thank you very much, to the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. On today's episode, we touch on Indigenous round, a little bit of COVID. But first and foremost, Dill Buckley's in war with the Fremantle Dockers. Sit back, grab a beer and enjoy. All right, let's get straight into it. Good afternoon, you one-eyed Victorian VFL lover, Fremantle basher. Good morning, good afternoon, Dill Buckley.
Oh, sorry, I'm just a bit flat this week. I don't really know what to say. Just a bit disappointed and sort of vilified online. Not sure where to go from here.
Well, there's not many through the 15-year career of Dave Mundy have hated on him.
Don't even start this. Do not even start this, David, because people, as you said, they tune out after the first thing. I'm on the biggest podcast in WA at the moment behind yours. And you know how much I love WA? This is what hurts me the most. How much I love West Coast, how much I love Freo. And now I've pretty much been single-handedly called a Fremantle Dave Mundy hater when I'm actually, in theory, trying to do the opposite.
All right, let's strip it back. So those people wouldn't have seen what happened. So you've got your weekly radio segment in Victoria on RSN, which is like the sports and racing station. Now, talk us, what happened? How did he come up in conversation and what was your exact quote?
Okay, so in reference, RSN Radio, Mick Barlow, Gareth Hall, of the week, we talk about our lift, the player that just lifted the team. And on this week, I said Dave Mundy. Okay, he's 35 years old. He's still absolutely racking up possessions, dominating on the field. Probably, from my perspective, I reckon the best inside 50 kick one of the game's seen. Yeah, one of the best inside 50 kicks the game's seen. If not one of the best midfielders of the modern century. I was pretty much saying, how good is this bloke? He's absolutely incredible. He's 35 years of age, doesn't look like slowing down. I'd love to see him do that type of transition like a Sam Mitchell, Jordan Lewis type, Luke Hodge, where they go to another team and sort of slowly go into a coaching role because I think he's that valuable. Then at the end, and I think this is where I've stuffed up and people have gotten upset and maybe taken it out of context.
You're still not sure we've stuffed up, as either am I.
I think this is it. But I said, imagine if he was playing in Victoria, he would be held in the same regard, if not as some of the game's absolute superstars. Like, I feel like he's on the same level as a Pendlebury, but just doesn't get the accolades he deserves. Where did I stuff up there?
No, I heard that. And then I read it on Twitter. So the radio station tweeted it, and then Fremantle have grabbed it.
The Fremantle Football Club have actually thrown me under the bus. And I'm saying to them, Freo, I'm on your side here. Yeah. I bleed purple. Yeah. I love you guys.
I actually believe what you say is true. We've said on the podcast 1,000 times that Dave Mundy is just quiet, doesn't do a lot of anything, like just plays really good footy for Fremantle. And you're right. If he was at Collingwood, you'd have 100,000 Humpties, Nuffies going bananas for him. I sort of get what you're saying. But also, I was going to say, Dave Mundy's won one Best and Fairest and one All-Australian. Scott Pendlebury's six times All-Australian, five-time Best and Fairest winner.
Yes, that's fair. I agree with that as well. So the thing with my view on this is no one is either – like no one's agreeing with me because there's the West Coast fans saying you're absolutely kidding yourself, VFL, you're biased, you're this, and then I've got the Victorian saying, don't even compare this bloke to Scott Pendlebury. He wouldn't carry his bag. And I'm just like, I'm never making a comment ever again, to be honest.
you've tried to really like be a good fella and say something nice, not pull Pendlebury down. You're not saying Scott Pendlebury's shit. You're saying Scott Pendlebury's at the top of the tree, and I reckon this bloke's at the top of the tree too. That's what you've said, and you've ended up being lynched in at the MCG from the Collingwood supporters. Oh. And come over to WA, mate, and you'll be lynched over here.
See, I was planning a trip. I was speaking to our good friend Luke Shuey last night, and I was saying, geez, I can't wait to get over the end of the year. We'll have to catch up for a few beers with all the boys. Looking forward to it. I'm going to have to cancel those plans. I'm genuinely not welcome over in Perth or WA anymore.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Have you locked down all your sponsors on your Dylan Friends podcast? Because I can see some of them walking away with such controversy.
They're pulling. Yeah, they're pulling.
This is as big as LeBron James not defending Hong Kong when he took stance over China. So, mate, I feel for you. This might be our last podcast before the West decide they've had enough too. But all I can say is what I say, today's papers, tomorrow's chip paper. So someone will do something stupid tomorrow and they'll be heckling you.
I hope so. I just, you know, no offense, Neat, and that's the thing that hurts me the most. You know, I absolutely love Dave Mundy, love Scott Penderbury, just trying to say I love them together. All of a sudden, Fremantle Football Club are, you know, online bullying me.
They bullied you, haven't they?
They've absolutely bullied me there. Oh, well.
All right, mate. Now, am I right in saying, did you have a game on the weekend?
No, it's actually this weekend. It's coming. But I don't know what's happening, mate.
You won't be playing.
Well, yeah, with COVID, I don't know what's going to happen. I have a pretty strong feeling that, you know, and we can't risk it over here. It's gone pretty mental just in the last sort of, you know, 10 hours. It's gone from 10 cases to 20 and things are starting to really fire up. The AFL obviously has the Vic teams in quarantine for 7 days. So I don't think that Victoria will risk the city being able to go into rural. For now. So we might have to postpone that one, unfortunately.
How disappointed are you really deep down?
Out of 10, minus 3. Pretty wrapped about it, to be honest.
Yeah, mate. So what are we hearing over there at the moment? Crowds at the moment still for Blockbuster on Friday night, Western Bulldogs Melbourne. Oh, I hope there's people there. Obviously I understand the severity of it all, but is that right? Yeah. Am I right in saying that they're planning for crowds?
Yeah, I've heard they're planning for crowds, but in saying that as well, I think two of the games last week have had, you know, contact tracing to those games. So I just don't know how you can really risk it if it is. So I can see that going either way. I agree with you though, as you know, a supporter and as in liking football, you want to see people at the game because it's going to be an absolutely huge game. Two of the best teams of this season playing, but I also understand in health purposes and actually doing the right thing and taking care of the COVID, then, you know, that can be a little bit more serious and obviously a high priority to keep everyone health and safety.
Have you had your jab?
I haven't. I didn't. Look, to be honest, this is how silly it gets. You know, COVID is such a serious thing and it's so scary how quickly it can get out of control. But I find as soon as, I don't know if this is just Victorians or if it's Australians, I think as soon as it's done, everyone's like, oh, sweet, that's done. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Like, and then you're like, oh, shit, it's back.
Doesn't your heart drop when it's back? You've gone from having a beer in the park or the pub thinking how good's life, and then you get a message from a group message going, hey, guys, Dan Andrews, press conference. Mutt McGowan, press conference. 6 cases we're hearing.
Everyone's got the aunties, brothers, cavemans, bloody ice cream trucks, auntie that just knows everything. It's an absolute nightmare. That's probably nearly the worst part is the messages you just caught from everyone. But it's funny, mate, last night I grabbed my partner. I said, look, let's get out, Dale, because who knows how long we're going to be able to go out for. So we went out for dinner. I went to the pub around the corner, had a few beers.
Yes, and nice.
Went there at about 5:30. And by 6 p.m., there was now a rule in place that you had to wear masks when you're in venues. Yep. So I went up and ordered my first beer at 5:45, went back at about maybe 6:10, you know, I was taking it easy.
Yeah.
And I had to wear a mask the second time I was up there. So that's just how quickly things can change.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Hopefully there's a crowd there because Marcus Bonampelli, 4 years, $4 million, that's pretty reasonable.
I think you're paying unders for that, to be honest. That's a good buy.
I agree. But I absolutely love that Western Bulldogs, and I love Bont as much as he's a tremendous player, favourite for the Brownlow, 4 years, $4 million. I love that they didn't do a stupid 8-year deal or something. I love that they've gone, nah, 4 years. In 4 years, you might be worth more. In 4 years, you might be worth less. These long-term deals, I'm yet to see one that's been super effective. And, of course, they had the Tom Boyd long-term contract. It was a little bit different because he was young and a bit of a scoop from number one draft pick. But those long-term deals, I just don't know why clubs do them.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I only signed 1 year, so I'd love to sign maybe one more than that. But
I'd love it. It's funny,
isn't it? Like, oh, 2 year, that's like, whoa, settle down.
Cruise control, pre-season.
Don't even know what I'm doing, you know, next week, let alone in 2 years. But yeah, it's funny, like as players like yourself, and I'll put me in your basket, even though I wouldn't carry your bags, Xavier, all you want is security.
Yeah, 100%.
And all you want is, you know, like a 2-3 year deal. And you're like, oh, how good is this? But then when you get to that big dog level, you don't want to sign the long-term deals. You know, you always want what you can't have. You want to just keep going on these one years, but then you play it safe and who knows with injuries. I think the Christian Petrarca one was actually a really good deal for Christian personally.
Yeah.
Obviously signing that deal, he's in the best form he's ever been in. He's signing a 7-year deal where realistically, even if he doesn't get any better than he already is, which, you know, they'd be happy. If he stayed like that for the rest 100%. Of his career, that's a win. But like 100%. Realistically now, all he has to do is just keep doing his thing.
I always worry about the 7 year. It's just the law of averages. There's going to be an ACL in there, or there's going to be a tendon off the bone hamstring, or so it's 7 years, but you're probably paying for, you're probably getting six, best case, I reckon. Like, not very often you see someone play 140 games straight. So that's what I always wonder about the long term. As you said, me and you deal. Annie, firstly, let's start with the coaches knowing our names. Exciting stuff. Yeah. Then all the
making eye contact in the corridor would be nice as well.
Yeah. Leadership group not putting you, exiling you from meetings when they go, leaders, emerging leaders, and they pick a handful and there's three of you left in the room going, well, what the fuck are we going to do? And then, you know, they go to you, hey, here's a 2-year contract. Oh my God, that is Christmas.
Oh, mate, it's the best. And I was even thinking before as well, like around the psyche of signing these deals, which I don't know if this is a common thing, but I definitely found it. For me and some other players, I spoke to Stephen Milne once on a podcast, and he was sort of saying that he only signed 1-year deals because he felt that when he signed longer than that, he got a little bit comfortable and he didn't play to the best he reckoned he could. And look, that's a very strong mindset to be able to back yourself in to do that. And I like the way he's done that. For me, that would give me anxiety attacks, but it's funny how it is, isn't it? You know, you sign these long-term deals. Some guys would really flourish being like, oh, fantastic. You're showing faith in me now for 7 years. I really appreciate it. Whereas for some people, they might go, shit, 7 years. Going to put on cruise control now. Like, life's good.
Mate, Clarko used to talk about feeling comfortable. So he used to have a saying.
I know what it is because Bolt used to say it.
What is it?
Comfortable being uncomfortable.
That's it. Something like that. And you think, I get what you're saying, but I'd rather just have a 5-year deal. hey, we did say jokingly off the top of your Twitter, the Twitter stuff that's been going on, and you know, you did nothing wrong with that one. I noticed you did tweet something on Sunday morning, Mitch Duncan. What world are we living in these days?
Mate.
A bloke's been knocked out. We'll get to the tribunal after this, but after the Mitch Duncan getting messages about refunding multis and stuff. What world are we living in?
Seriously, mate, this is the one thing. Look, I take things pretty lackadaisy. Nothing, it's, you know, water off a duck's back, but this is the shit that really pisses me off. Like, don't do this. If anyone's out there and you've done it before, just don't do this. And I know that we've got the best viewers, listeners, sorry, should I say. So maybe pass this on to your friends that you think might do it. Like Mitch Duncan, obviously a good friend of mine and absolute superstar, has gone off with a concussion. And I'll read out the message someone messaged him. Mate, you may be good, but you can't buy a heart. Effing piss weak. True warriors play on. Like, you'd know what a true warrior is, my friend. You cost me 1K. I'm expecting to be reimbursed. You will be smiling on the bench to have a effing yarn. Didn't seem too effing painful. You're effing weak as piss, mate. You're a pussy. So this bloke has probably put on a $5 multi. He wants to be reimbursed and he's saying that you're not a true warrior. Like, shut up.
No, it is the punch, the thing, isn't it? Don't get me wrong, I enjoy having a flutter and stuff like that. But to get to the stage where you're having, like, in my mind, I think that bloke's got more issues than the physical stuff. He's into trouble on the punch, surely, that he's done something to try and get ahead. And that's the concern. But more and more the trend these days, like, it's not his call to go off the ground with concussion. I'm sure 5 years ago, Mitch would have got up and gone, oh yeah, give me a drink of water and I'll just stand out here for 5 minutes and off I'll go again. And you would have won your multi. But the doctors are the ones who look at vision and go, you're done. Like, it's got nothing to do with Mitch Duncan smiling and laughing because he's fresh as a daisy and, yeah, he's taking it easy for a week. The doctors are the one, and there's no say anywhere else.
And, mate, people, I suppose, don't understand as well. This is actually like the law now. It's actually illegal for this to happen. Like, it's fully a part of the game. These clubs can – doctors could probably lose their licenses if they would even let players back on with concussion. And, look, I can categorically tell you, I don't know if players are really punting on the kneeful, but maybe the AFL's, Ave. Have you ever gone out there thinking, hey, someone might have me for 25 touches. I might try a little bit harder this week?
No, it's interesting. I've never tried any harder because the match payment was usually significantly more than the $5 the blokes had on.
Yeah, exactly. Just to let you know, I don't know if players know this or the public that are sending these messages in, and I know it is a small minority and it does get called out. I'd never ever say that this is everyone because it's definitely not. 99% of people are doing the right thing. But yeah, players are not playing any harder for your multis. Okay, no. just know that. Please know that.
And they're not going, shit, I think Smithy's got me for 4 goals. I'm going to have to be really greedy this quarter. So just save your messages. And I know a lot of players receive them. I was only talking to Luke Bruce the other day, and he kicked a goal or missed a goal or something. And sure enough, he goes, I go back to my phone and I just know there's going to be a handful of messages saying something about a multi-bet. It's absolutely outrageous and ridiculous. But off the back of the
Zav, do you reckon we'll get to the time where this is actually policed at all? Like we've seen in the NRL, there was a lot of league players posting about this as well recently with all the online abuse. I actually reckon it'll get to the stage where these people that are actually messaging players, stupidly they're doing it on their own accounts with their family and three kids in the photo and their business names even. And it's really easy to actually track who they are. I reckon it'll get to the stage where clubs are ripping up memberships.
And the one too is like, their little bio, it's like advocate for mental health. Mate, you've literally just teed off on someone. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, the 100% if you can find the person, but there's also those heartless pricks who do have, you know, at 1234 big black cat 121098. And you're like, you're never going to find that person, but they are just heartless, gutless. Imagine if they said that to Mitch Duncan, who's a nice guy. Wouldn't hurt a fly. Imagine if they dropped that on him in a bar.
Oh, you would never, because they'd be coming up and asking for a photo, telling him how much they love him.
100%. Oh, mate, yeah, love it. Oh, how's your head? All that sort of stuff. So anyway, weak as water. But the tribunal last night, had a sitting. They never have a sitting. It's the easiest job in the world, the tribunal, because you sign up. Everyone just accepts 1 week because they go, look, you can have 1 week or you can challenge and you'll get 15. So everyone just cops it. But Mitch Duncan, the tackle, Holman, what did you make of that?
Considering the situation, it is a tough one, isn't it? Because we've been talking about this a lot, and I think every fan of footy and every ex-player is so keen on protecting the head and concussion and all these things. But I think there's also an element of the game where we just don't want to lose it, everything.
Yeah,
and the Nick Holman one is a great example of that. A rundown tackle, there was no malice in it whatsoever. It's nearly one of the most exciting things of our game, and I think it's why it's such a pivotal thing that you can't lose. This is a one-off incident. I nearly think that the tribunal, MRP, whatever's first, I'm not sure on the lingo and how it actually works, but I think that they tactically gave the 2 weeks to show, look, we are really serious about this, which I love.
Yeah.
But I honestly think there's no way that he could ever have got reported for that seen through. Because it was textbook.
Yeah. If you put the 700 AFL players in a room and said, righto, hands up if you want to try and eliminate as best we can concussion, 700 players would put their hands up. Then if you said to them, guys, how would you feel if this was you being Mitch Duncan? Would you feel as though a suspension would be warranted? 700 would have their hand up saying absolutely not. They'd say, yeah, we want to eliminate the slam tackle, the crush it, you know, the way you get your head, your arms are pinned and there's no need to landmine the bloke. Cut that out. But if you got knocked out in a tackle, rundown tackle, so much force, they're powerful beasts, athletic. Mitch Duncan's about to kick the ball. He's completely off balance. And you get knocked out, or a little bit of a if you get knocked out in the process of someone doing something legal, I think that's no drama. And every single player would agree with that. If you get knocked out by something that was fair, you don't need to be suspension. It's just, you know, bad luck. Have a week off, go again, and hopefully there's no underlying issues throughout your life.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I love the stance that the AFL's taking on this, and I know how important the head knocks and concussions is, and I think they're leading really the sport in this at the moment. So, yeah, really proud that the AFL are doing that, but I also think that players go out there knowing that this is a contact sport, and the last thing we want to see really is players avoiding to just not even go for the ball anymore because they're too scared of the outcome.
Yeah. Now, your mob, the Mighty Blues, Plowman's going to fight. We never really see this deal either. So it goes MRO, tribunal, and then appeal. So I'm reading Carlton are going to appeal. So third level of, action against the O'Meara hit. You've obviously caught that in the news and stuff. Have you got an opinion on what you thought of that one?
I understand what the AFL's ruling on this. I do get it. It's a lot different to the Holman one. With this, I understand because Plowman left the ground in the impact, I suppose, he could have pulled out of that contest before it happened and sort of did take his eyes off of the ball at the end. Do I like it? No, I don't like it, but as we said, the game's going that way. We need to protect the head. So I'm not sure what he will go for. Look, it's probably worth a 1 week on the current ruling. I don't love seeing these things go, but again, if it's on their head and players are injured, we've got to stop it out, stamp it out.
So I'm a little bit let him go. I thought it was a good, hard contest. Another one of those ones where there's a photo where he tries to protect himself and get the fist up a bit. Again, I thought it was a little bit of that was hard footy. But again,
I totally agree.
Yeah, I do totally agree.
But it's so, like, in this aspect, what I think they're trying to say is, you know, even if it is accidental and you could have avoided the head knock, you've still had the head knock.
Yeah.
So it's like the Dangerfield situation, I suppose. Again, these contests, we don't want to lose them. It's sort of like the AFL saying you can have a good contest, but as long as you don't hurt each other.
Yeah. Mate, moving along, the Sir Doug Nicholas round. Now, Indigenous round, for those who don't know, obviously fast approaching. Did Carlton or GWS ever do anything special for Indigenous round?
Mate, they did. And it's honestly one of the best rounds in footy. At the moment, I've actually got the Gold Coast Indigenous jumper behind me. It's a beautiful one. One of Dan Goringer's from a few years ago. Obviously, it was not match worn because he wouldn't have got a game. But it is a fantastic round,
clean.
Mate. Yeah, it's definitely clean. It's a fantastic round, mate. You would know, you know, how special this is and how much it means to the Indigenous boys. And I think really lucky as a player to experience these weeks, because I suppose you actually really get to learn a lot about Indigenous culture. And, you know, one of my favourite times is in this round when we normally have an Indigenous presentation of the jumper that we'll wear that week. And the artist and one of the representative players that helps design the jumper will talk through, you know, what the jumper means and what it represents and, you know, the stories behind specific animals and the area and what's connected. And it's pretty incredible that, you know, we're not as educated on that as we need to be. I think they're obviously making big steps in that at the moment. But, yeah, really blessed as AFL players and in that hub to be able to learn from, you know, your teammates on their side of the family and what makes it so special for them.
Favorite Indigenous player you've had?
Oh my God, this is so tough. I'd have to say Zachy Williams. I think he's one of the most special players I've played with. People will say Eddie Betsy, but I didn't actually get to play with Eddie Betsy. Left the year. I had 1 year with him. Never actually pulled on the Guernsey, but I've actually pulled on the Guernsey with Zach Williams. So I'd have to say him. Who's yours?
Well,
I think
Bud's
it's obvious, isn't it?
Bud's the obvious one, but for Hawthorn Footy Club, for the situation they were in from being cellar dwellers to exceptional players, Chance Bateman. I don't know if you remember much of Chance Bateman.
Dreadlocks. Oh, I love Chance Bateman.
Yeah, so Changer. We used to have like a game plan when we first started, which was all about like Changer. We'd handball out the back of a stoppage to like a wingman like myself, and then would wait for Changer to run as fast as he could to the other side of the ground and would kick it out there into space. He was exceptional. Like, he could have been all Australian and all that sort of stuff. I think Clarko's even said he's probably his most underrated player, his coach, but he could have been all Australian, all that sort of stuff. But he'd be the star and be our best player. And then the next week you'd tag Nick Del Santo or Boomer Harvey and you go, how can he just put his hand up and say, yeah, no worries, I'll be the tagger, cool, don't, no stress. But he's a star. Like, that's how good he was. He just didn't give a shit. Like, he just didn't care. And those dreadlocks flowing, oh, Changer was so good.
Could you imagine now, not saying that he wasn't back then, but imagine him playing nowadays, like the cult figure with those dreadlocks that he would have just, he would be one of the biggest players in the, I'm not going to get into this again. I'm not going to say he would have been the biggest player in the game again. I've already said that about Dave Mundy. I get very excited about this.
He would have been a version of Nat Fyfe.
Yeah, literally. But I must say, when I was really getting into footy was around that stage, and the 2008 grand final, Watching that game, and that's probably like the first one that really sticks out to me as like a young bloke just going like, yeah, I'm really invested in this. And obviously when he was in his absolute prime watching Chance Bateman run around for the Hawks back then, he's an absolute star and he's a good bloke, mate. I've met him since. He works with West Coast now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he moved on during COVID, but he was, yeah. He moved on during the COVID period. But he got told in 2000 and maybe 10 or 8 or whatever it was, because he was such a good guy, but he needed to be, for his leadership, do some more stuff with players, young players off the field. And he came up to me, and I got on well with Changa at training, but then he'd go and, you know, do his own thing and all that sort of stuff. And he goes, X, do you play golf? I said, nah, don't, mate, don't like it. He goes, cool, meet me at Riversdale at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. I was like, oh, fuck, really? Anyway, that started a friendship. We played golf twice a week for like 3 or 4 years every week at Riversdale Golf Club. He would shoot under par at times, and I'd shoot 36 over, like blasting him into trees, lost balls. I'd hit it and lose me ball. Changa would find it every time. Like, he was that good at a bloke.
He'd find your balls.
His was always in the middle on the fairway. Mine was up trees. Changa, he'd go looking for it, hunting, like literally like I was playing in a major and I needed that shot. I was 100. I was so far over. And then he'd walk up to his, whack it, and then go look for mine. He was so good. But every week, Monday, Wednesday, we used to do his recovery on a Monday, we'd go play around a golf. And it was, yeah, he's a good mate of mine now. But after Clarko said, you need to tighten up with the young blokes, you play golf? No. See you at 6:30, mate, or something like that.
What a star. I love that.
So COVID at the moment in Victoria, your masks, but the boys are still able to train and stuff.
Yeah, we've got masks on at the moment. Yep. The boys are training, but I think they're in like a 7-day lockdown training thing. I'm not 100% sure how it's really working at the moment. It's a bit all over the place. It's just like sort of waiting by the phone, waiting for the next Twitter update on what's actually happening.
Yeah, right, mate. Well, we might let you rock and roll. Josh, you got anything you need to add, mate?
Put me on the spot, mate.
Anything you'd like?
No, it was
interesting. How's TikTok?
TikTok's all right. It's going all right. You guys,
did you see his new collab with Brad Hollis?
You know who set that up? The one and only Dil Buckley.
I was about to say, maybe you two.
People.
I'd love Dil. So you know how Josh, he does his videos and randoms, they're obviously his mates, but like just people blow in and out of them, and now they're sort of creating a bit of being characters. I'd love you just to be in there as a normal mate, you know, have one line and then walk off or something in a video.
I'd love to do that. I haven't been asked yet, but I'd love to.
I'm Dil.
I don't know if I'm allowed back in Perth yet, though.
I said I'd be in your video.
Dave, you guys, I thought you were above my pay. Like,
no, it's fuck, mate. Free of charge for you.
Actually, the funniest with Brad Hollis, so if anyone doesn't know Good Footy Energies, he's appeared on Dil Buckley's pod as well. I met him. I sort of forgot I didn't know him because I've watched so many of his videos.
And yeah, one of those ones.
I bumped into him in Adelaide Oval. I'm like, hey, mate, how you going? And then he just sort of like stared me down for a bit. And then I said I was going to the showdown and he's like, oh, I can't come. But I was like, I couldn't figure out whether he was joking or not.
Oh, mate, it's so hard. It's so hard. He's like the funniest bloke ever. But I genuinely don't know sometimes if he's joking or serious. Like, I did a pod with him where at one stage he just got up midway through and just walked off. And I was like, I don't know like where this guy's going. Like, is this actually a thing or not? But I think he's very smart the way he does it, and he's quite good at keeping in character.
I'm a bit of a star marker. Like, when I see someone who, like an old school footy boy or whatever, and you bump into him and you go, g'day, mate, how you going? How's everything? And you're like, I've never met this guy. Like, you just follow on socials or you just follow their life through anything. Oh, no, he definitely thinks I'm a loser.
On the same though, you know how there's people that if you don't really know them, you avoid talking to them? I'm the opposite. I have social anxiety, but it's like I have to go say g'day. Otherwise, I don't want to be like the awkwardness of we both saw each other and avoided each other. I'm like, I need to go say g'day to you. Otherwise, this is going to be worse for me.
Yeah, 100%. 100%, mate. Well, we might let you go. You've got your COVID stuff to worry about over there, but you're looking as good as usual.
Thank you.
And any chance you're sneaking out for another beer tonight, or that's just the one off Tuesday?
No, one off on the Tuesdays. Back to bed tonight and ready for a big rest of the week.
I had beers last night by myself on the couch and watched bloody 60 Minutes and a story on Afterpay. It almost inspired me to sign up.
You're getting old, mate.
But anyway. All right then, Dill. Have a good one, mate.
See you, boys.
That's it for another week of the Loose Ballers. Again, thank you very much, Mazda. Of course, the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. Stick around. There's plenty more footy to come on the Hardball Gets Football podcast. Kepler Bradley. I know I promoted him last week. I'll promote him again today. Kepler Bradley on Friday.